last minutes.
Quick couple of minutes, sir. Time flies.
We bring in Mike Sauter, RandyBPreps.com, who experienced a lot of fun things this weekend, including a great high school football game on Friday, but more importantly, a Jets win yesterday. Hello, Sauter.
Hello.
How did we feel? How are we feeling?
See you in Pittsburgh, baby. We'll see you in Pittsburgh.
What do you mean we'll see you in Pittsburgh?
I may or may not have texted a couple of Steelers fans that I know yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
A couple times.
Yeah?
Right.
How was that received?
The one that you and I and a lot of people know didn't respond to my
shocking
after the game. So, but before the game, he did. It was good. So, yeah, it was good. It's good to have the Wonder Kid quarterback back. That felt great.
Well, he's okay. You were lucky to have the other Wonder Kid on the other side. Although he wasn't terrible. He got a couple bad luck picks, but you know, three interceptions in the debut, including one right off the bat. That's probably not a great start for old Kenny Pickett over there.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. Like, two of those were very much.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But you know what it did remind me of is shades of Baker Mayfield. So remember when the Browns lost, like, you know, 17 in a row or some crazy number?
Yeah.
And then it was a Monday night game. The Jets were in Cleveland, like week 3. And then they bring in Baker Mayfield at like second quarter or something. And I'm like, and the crowd goes crazy and all of that. And I go, oh boy, here we go. You know, this is going to happen again. Can't you just keep Mitch two toes Trubisky in? I don't know if he has two toes. I just made that up. I was reliving that moment in my mind about, you know, all right, this, you know, the next thing at quarterback, and then going to happen to the Jets again. And, well, it didn't.
It didn't. And now they're 2-2.
2-2. Who would have thought?
Who would have thought?
Not a lot of people.
Exactly. Take us back to Friday night. You know, the Zain Flores show and really everything around that game on Friday night, and which was already billed to be a, you know, pretty historically significant battle, and two future probably Power Five quarterbacks playing each other in the state of Nebraska in a significant game. Like, it was, you know, highly built up before, and then everybody left because it got out of hand, and all of a sudden it wasn't out of hand anymore.
Yeah. You know, it actually lived up to the hype.
Yeah.
So, like, both quarterbacks lived up to the hype. I mean, at the end of the day, Danny Kaline was 30 of 48 for 325 yards and three touchdowns. And, I mean, our guy, my guy, everybody's guy, Zain Flores, started the game 10 of 21 for 156 yards. In the fourth quarter, he was 14 of 21 for 220 yards, which he finished the game 24 of 42, 382 yards, three passing touchdowns, and two rushing touchdowns.
Not bad.
That's a pretty good day. So, actually just rewatched the game this morning, and it took a couple hours. I spent about an hour just on the last 7 minutes and 9 seconds. So it was 37-14.
37-14. Yep. Yeah. you sent me the screenshot of the scoreboard. I was like, yep. I needed proof almost, because you know, we talked about it a little bit over the weekend. Of course, you know, right. You know, looked into it, like, oh yeah, it actually was 37-14 with 7 minutes left.
Yeah, it was just incredible. You know, the one thing with, I don't know, six something left after Gio Contreras scored, ran it in from 6 yards out, to make it 37-14. The very next Gretna possession, there very much though could have been a pick six, because the ball, it was considered a drop by Gretna receiver that went into a Bellevue West defender's hands, and then he kind of dropped it, but it was like tipped to himself, hit his hands again, and then hit the ground. And if he would have caught it and ran it back, it probably would have been ball game.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at 44-14. So, yeah, I mean, Zane led a 70-yard drive where he was 4 of 5 on that drive, and 35-yard touchdown to Blake Moore to make the game 37-21 with 5:57 left. Then they get an onside kick, Gretna does. Then Flores runs it in from 1 yard out, and it's 37-29 with 4:48 left. Then a 3-and-out. Not a 3-and-out. Then it was Gretna got the ball on the 24-yard line. There was a 4th-down stop with 2:32 left. Then Zane Flores finds Caleb Schnell, who had a monster game, for a 45-yard touchdown with a minute 30 left. And then Blake Moore gets the 2-point conversion, and it's 37-35. It just kind of snowballed. It really did.
Yeah.
Then there was a blocked punt. It's 4th-and-2, and there's a blocked punt. Ethan Sturr tipped it. It wasn't fully blocked. Gretna took over on the Bellevue West 42, and Cam Bothwell hits the 25-yard field goal to win it with 8 seconds. Basically, I had 2 plays. So it was a wild game. I mean, I've never seen anything like that, high school game where it was 37-14 with 7 minutes left in the game, and there was zero chance, and Gretna fans were like leaving, and then I guess I started coming back.
Yeah, it's like time to turn around.
Yeah. The cool thing about one thing about the game is before the game, I do a pregame show thing, and then I talk to the guys in the morning, and I kind of was, just through talking to people and looking and knowing the teams, I guess, like I think I do, I figured there'd be a lot of quick passing game because, WS offensive line, not like the best in the state, and Gretna's defensive line, pretty good. And I just know Gretna's offense is kind of a little bit of a dink and dunk. They like the wide receiver screen and running back screens and stuff. They're really, really good at it. In the entire game, we're talking how many passes is that? 50. There were 90 total pass attempts. There was 1 sack in the whole game.
Yeah.
1 sack. So
that's really high level stuff. Yeah.
Pretty high level quarterback play being played there. You have 1 sack in 90 pass attempts, yeah, in high school football.
You know, we've done our fair share of talking about Zane Flores, but have you ever seen a throw at this level in this state like he made rolling out to the back of the end zone? That was, I mean, maybe it's just it's clearly not just a one-off for him. That's a great throw that he can make, but that's pretty special stuff.
Yeah, the 2-point conversion you're talking about, it was. I mean, he's rolling out to the right. Play was going to the right. He was past the hash and just kind of across his body a little bit, not fully, got his shoulders square and zipped the thing, only to where Blake Moore caught the 2-point conversion and did get a foot down, standing right there. And it was incredible. I went back and actually watched it more than obviously once, or probably 10 times now. And it just, that throw, was like, all right, that's different. Like we don't see that very often. So it was pretty incredible. Just that one kind of play and just leading them back, right? Like, they needed a little bit of momentum. They got it. Zane on their first, drive, the one, after the, the first one after the Contreras touchdown, he was 4 for 5 on that drive, hit his first, two passes, kind of got some rhythm going, and just a little bit of confidence. Also, I mean, a factor in Friday night, the wind played a factor. It definitely did. And Gretna had the wind at their back, in the fourth quarter. So, when the coin toss stuff happens, it's real important to pay attention to what your coach wants to do. So, if you win it, great. If you don't, what end zone are we going to defend if the other team wants the ball, or if we're going to defer, those sort of things. All that's pretty important stuff.
Sauter, let's move on to the other, score of significance that came. There was a couple more, but we'll move on to number two here. North Platte 21, Westside 17. What does that mean for both of those sides, in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah. So Rezac, the starting quarterback for Westside, is banged up. Like, he has a thumb injury, hit it, not this past week, but I guess two Fridays ago, and had to come out of that game, hit it on a helmet, just like follow through. It's not broken. It's a strain. The plan was for him to just play the first quarter, see how it went. He played the first quarter, and only the first quarter. So, I mean, honestly, I've said this to multiple people. Without him, they just their state title hopes, if you will, are not great. He's, I think, that good, a really good quarterback, really kind of controls everything. And frankly, like the travel out there, everyone, makes and it was made a big deal about, and just teams aren't used to doing that. So it's just a different vibe, a different feeling. The teams from, I guess, Omaha aren't used to going out that way. Obviously, like, North Platte and everybody else out that way is used to the travel and got to stop in the middle of it and all of that stuff. So that, I think all of that kind of plays into it. For our post game show that I do at the end of the night on Friday nights, I think this past Friday was like 11:30. But we had Kurt Altig, the North Platte coach, on, and I asked him, about the game, and he kind of went through with me, and they run a flex bone. It's them and maybe one of them and Miller North, probably the only ones even close to running something like that. And he said, we run 5 plays. Like our offense is 5 plays.
Yep.
And, they do have Colton Tilford, a really, really good, what I would consider, kind of athlete. He's committed to South Dakota State, and he had the game-winning touchdown. It's again, maybe a little bit of, we knew that Westside up front wasn't going to be great. Not like Prep, I think, which is the best offensive line. We knew that going into the season. Their skill's fantastic. But also injuries kind of maybe piling up a little bit and depth being tested. And a little bit of the, hey, up front there, maybe it's a little bit of a thing.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think, if that game's played at Westside, maybe it's a different outcome. But, hey, more power to North Platte. It's a really big win. Gets them to 500. They were 3-2 before that.
Yeah. All right, Sauter. Well, I mean, this week there's a couple big ones. You have Kearney coming up to
Westside,
and you have Elkhorn South going out to Grand Island.
Right.
And then there's a couple more. I know your game of the week games are kind of, a little outside of that. You have Elkhorn South, Grand Island, Adams Central, Aurora is a big one in C1. Pierce Central City and Clarkson Lee at Cross County. How about that for a slate?
Yeah, two undefeated teams there. And kind of a little bit of a rivalry. They're very close, like 10, 15 miles away from each other in that one. So, yeah, I mean, I will be on the road this week for on Friday night. I did that on purpose. So there's like Southeast and Millard West, two teams trying to kind of, solidify something is there too a little bit. Gretna at Papio South on Thursday night. That's Thursday night game. So Papio South has only got that one loss. So it would be a pretty big win if they can get that done on Thursday night.
All right, Sauter. Appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you. Whoa, what's this?
Whoa.
I want reaction from a Jets fan, as Mike McDaniel has just announced. Tua Tagovailoa out for Sunday's game against the Jets.
All right. That's all right. I mean, they got Teddy Two Gloves playing backup quarterback. So I do feel better about that, though, because I'm not feeling great about the speed. You know, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle against the Jets defense doesn't make me feel. I'm pretty uneasy about that one. But Tua's out. That's fine.
Tua's out, and Tua's doctor still fired.
He should be. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, feel good about that. Thanks for that breaking news. Obviously, did not know that. Feel a little better. We'll see. No one's going to expect the Jets to win because they never do. So, except for me, every week, no matter what.
Thanks, Sauter.
Can't wait.
That is Mike Sauter, NEVPreps.com, or Bart Scott. We'll come back with the top five winners of the weekend from Josh. Next, here on 1620 The Zone.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.